The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and the colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them and sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking this, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Crowds gather very quickly for events, especially in my culture. When I was younger, you could just hear someone say, "Woo, woo, woo, woo," and everybody comes from everywhere just because that means something of significance is happening. You don't know, is it bad? Is it an accident? Is it something to be joyful about? But the crowds have to gather very quickly. And this is not necessarily the same in Israel, but also there was the case here. Jesus was very well known at this time for his miracles, so the crowd did form after they heard that he was coming into Jerusalem. So it's about around this time of the year that the city's population swells because of pilgrims and tourists that are coming into the city for the Jewish Passover feast. Now picture this. Jesus is entering Jerusalem from the east gate, inspiring simplicity and a true prophet's welcome. He's on a donkey and there is a colt alongside, which is a great picture in the Old Testament that you wouldn't miss it. You wouldn't miss it because it's a donkey. Your king is coming, Zion. He's on a donkey and there's a colt and he's coming from the east gate. And the crowds are gathered and they are taking branches because that's their way of welcoming a king. And of course, their red carpet is probably one of these. You know, you take on your shawls, your clothes, and you put it on the ground to say this is their way of welcoming the king. And so they did everything exactly as the Old Testament was saying, that they are going to welcome Jesus to come, and he's the king who's coming, he's the Messiah, he's the one we are expecting to come and save us. But also, here's the thing. This is happening, and the Jewish are doing this. The Roman authorities are not sleeping. They are watching exactly what's happening. And you know, around this time, because there's a lot of people coming, and they were used to having riots in the city, so the Romans had put a lot of security, you know, special agents and police there so that things go well. They don't want riots, right? And so they are on the west gate, and they are also coming in. Okay, there's this military regalia and pompous, and you should fear Rome. You should fear. They have weapons, and Pilate is coming, and he has his own entourage of people with weapons, and they are on big horses of war, because that's what Rome does. You know, they are in that part of the world, and they've conquered that world. They have to show them who they are, don't they? They show their might, and that's what they were doing on the West Gate. They are coming in to show them, okay, you can do your Jewish thing there, but we are here, we are in charge, just so you remember we are here in charge. So today, Palm Sunday, we will celebrate who Jesus is, by the way, because as they were singing, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they are meaning, please save us, Lord. And unfortunately, even though this is saying we are celebrating, this is our king, this is not completely divorced from what is going to happen a week later with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The cross was the destiny of this king that we celebrate as our king and savior. And it is also in our journey. So we have the first day of the Holy Week begins on a high note, celebrating Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because we are oppressed by a particular enemy of ours. And for the Jews, it was the Romans on the West Gate. But that's not the only thing that we are crying to be delivered from, is it? We are worried about the state of our world, the state of our nation, the state of our church. We are burdened by our family's pains. And we are also burdened and worried by a friend's sorrow. We are worried sick about our health and our future. And we are saying, Lord, save us, I pray. This king, Jesus, is entering Jerusalem, is seen as in opposition to this pompous Roman authority. And it is the same way when we recognize Jesus as our King and Savior in our lives, then follows the clash between that kingdom of Jesus in your heart and the dark kingdoms of this world. But now I want to draw your attention to that East Gate where Jesus was to celebrate that deliverance of the Israelites into Egypt, and also to deliver the whole human race at the end of that week. The Passover was going to make a big bang that it meant exactly God is coming to rescue you. You see, the kingdoms of this world are very busy. They are vying for our attention. They are restless for us believers to care about their own nonsense. Have you watched the news or one of those ads that tells you, don't take those pills there, they are not good for you. You take these ones that I'm selling you here, they are the best, but those ones are going to cause you problems. And another person is going to come, ooh, the things are terrible in this world. You know, I am the person who's going to make everything better. Is it really? You know, there's all kinds of things we hear, and they are intimidating us, just in the same way that the Israelites were being intimidated by that East Gate of this intimidating might from Rome. Don't look there. We are to focus on Jesus Christ and his cross, that he came just for us, to save us. We are to do our best to bring the joys of the kingdom of God in our midst, despite the storms around us and the tornadoes around us. That's our calling. Be about God's business. Pray. Repent. Seek God's face. Worship the Lord your God. Ignore the distractions from the West Gate and its businesses. Save us, Lord, please. We are called to bless the name of Jesus, in whom salvation is found in no other name. We are called to exalt him in the highest heaven above everything else in the world. I know when we get home, there are so many things that are vying for our attention. Our homes upkeep, the homeworks of our children, the number of things from work, the number of things that we need to work on in our own family dynamics. There's a lot that needs us. They are vying for our attention. But we are called to exalt that name above all other names. Hosanna in the highest of heaven. Please save us, Lord. Save us from ourselves, from our tendency to bail out in despair and anger. Save us from our burdens, our intemperance, and our impatience, our lack of listening skills and discernment capacity. Open our minds to the spiritual battlegrounds we live in so that we can see clearly how to defeat these powers of the kingdoms of the earth. Lord Jesus, give us your grace and power to live lives of faith, lives that are open to your miracles, your power to save. Allow our hearts to lay down everything that is in it so you can enter it and process in it and take your place. Please save us, Lord. Amen.